Welcome to your WJEA Level Religious Studies Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating and philosophically rich topics on the specification, the soul, mind, and body. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode is going to walk you through everything you need, from Plato's charioteer to Dawkins's DNA. So grab a pen, settle in, and let's get started. This topic sits within Theme 1A of the WJEA specification, and it asks a deceptively simple question. What are we? Are we a soul trapped in a body? Are we just a very complicated physical machine? Or is the whole question confused from the start? The philosophers we study here have radically different answers, and your job in the exam is to explain those answers precisely and then evaluate them critically. Let's begin with Plato, writing in the 4th century BC. Plato is what we call a substance dualist. That means he believes the soul and the body are two entirely different substances, two fundamentally different kinds of thing. The body is physical, mortal, and tied to the material world. The soul, by contrast, is immaterial, immortal, and belongs to the world of the forms, the realm of perfect, unchanging truths. Plato's most famous illustration of this is the charioteer analogy from the Phaedo. Imagine a charioteer, that's reason, or the rational soul, trying to control two horses. One horse is noble and obedient, representing our higher spiritual impulses. The other horse is wild and unruly, representing our bodily appetites and desires. The charioteer's job is to keep control, to let reason guide the soul upward toward the forms rather than being dragged down by the body's cravings. For Plato, the body is actually a hindrance to the soul. He famously describes the body as a prison. Death, then, is not something to fear. It is liberation. When the body dies, the immortal soul is freed and returns to the world of the forms. This has profound implications for life after death. Plato supports the idea of a disembodied existence, a purely spiritual afterlife where the soul continues without any physical form. Now, here's a crucial distinction that examiners love to test. Plato's dualism is substance dualism. The soul is not just a property or function of the body, it is a separate substance entirely. Keep that word substance in your answer when writing about Plato, and you will earn credit for precise use of technical terminology. Moving forward about 50 years, we meet Aristotle, Plato's most famous student and someone who fundamentally disagreed with his teacher. Aristotle's view of the soul is set out in his work De Anima, which literally means on the soul. For Aristotle, the soul is not a separate substance. Instead, the soul is the form of the body. It is what makes a living body alive and functional. Aristotle uses a brilliant analogy to explain this: the eye and sight. If the eye were a living creature, he says, sight would be its soul. Sight is not a separate thing floating around inside the eyeball. It is simply what the eye does, its function, its essence. In the same way, the soul is not a ghostly substance inside the body. It is the body's capacity for life, sensation, thought, and movement. This view is called hylomorphism, from the Greek words for matter and form. The body is the matter, and the soul is the form. They cannot be separated any more than you can separate the shape of a wax seal from the wax itself. This is sometimes called the wax seal analogy. What does this mean for life after death? For Aristotle, the implications are quite different from Plato. If the soul is inseparable from the body, then when the body dies, the soul ceases to exist. There is no disembodied survival. This makes Aristotle's view more compatible with the resurrection model of the afterlife, where life after death would require a new physical body rather than a purely spiritual one. Examiners will credit candidates who can clearly articulate the difference. Plato's soul can and does survive without the body. Aristotle's soul, in most respects, cannot. Do not confuse Plato's theory of forms with Aristotle's use of the word form. For Plato, forms are transcendent, perfect archetypes existing in another realm. For Aristotle, form simply means the organizing principle or function of a thing. It is entirely immanent, embedded in the physical world. Now let's jump forward nearly 2,000 years to René Descartes, writing his Meditations in 1641. Descartes is the great reviver of dualism in the modern era, and he gives us two specific arguments that you must know for the exam. The first is the argument from doubt. Descartes begins his Meditations by systematically doubting everything he can possibly doubt. He doubts his senses, he doubts the external world, he even considers the possibility of an evil demon deceiving him about everything. But there is one thing he cannot doubt, the fact that he is doubting. And doubting is a form of thinking. Therefore, he concludes, I think, therefore, I am. Cogito ergo sum. The I that thinks is the mind, the resinciel cogitans, the thinking thing. The body, by contrast, is resinciel extensa, the extended thing, the thing that takes up space. These are two completely different substances, and Descartes argues they are distinct because he can clearly and distinctly conceive of the mind existing without the body. The second argument is the argument from divisibility. The body is divisible. You can cut it, remove limbs, damage parts of it. The mind, however, is indivisible. You cannot cut your consciousness in half. You cannot remove a quarter of your sense of self. Because the mind and body have such fundamentally different properties, one divisible, one not, they must be different substances. Descartes does acknowledge a problem, though. If mind and body are completely different substances, how do they interact? How does a thought cause a physical action? He somewhat unconvincingly suggested the pineal gland as the point of interaction, a small structure in the brain where mind and body meet. This interaction problem is one of the major weaknesses of Cartesian dualism, and it's something you should mention in your evaluation. Now we come to the 20th century, and one of the most important critiques of dualism, Gilbert Ryle's Ghost in the Machine. Ryle was a British philosopher who published The Concept of Mind in 1949. His target was Cartesian dualism, and his argument is devastatingly simple. Ryle argues that Descartes committed what he calls a category error. A category error is when you treat something from one logical category as if it belongs to another. Ryle's famous example is this. Imagine a visitor coming to Oxford University. You show them the colleges, the libraries, the playing fields, the administrative offices. At the end of the tour, they ask, "But where is the university?" They have made a category error. They are looking for the university as if it were another building, when in fact the university just is the collection of all those buildings and activities together. In the same way, Ryle argues, Descartes made a category error about the mind. He treated the mind as if it were a separate ghostly entity, a ghost, inhabiting the physical machine of the body. But the mind is not a separate thing lurking inside the body. Mental concepts like believing, knowing, and deciding are descriptions of how a person behaves and is disposed to behave. They are not references to hidden inner events in a separate mental substance. This is crucial for your exam. Ryle is not saying the soul does not exist in any sense. He is making a linguistic and logical point that the Cartesian picture is conceptually confused. It is a category error to speak of the mind as a separate substance. Credit is given for candidates who present Ryle's position as a philosophical critique of language and logic, not simply as a denial of the soul. Finally, let's look at Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary biologist and prominent atheist, who offers a materialist perspective. Dawkins draws a useful distinction between what he calls Soul One and Soul Two. Soul One is the traditional, mystical, religious concept of the soul, an immaterial, supernatural entity that survives death. Dawkins rejects this entirely. From a scientific materialist standpoint, there is no evidence for such an entity, and it is incompatible with our understanding of neuroscience and evolutionary biology. Soul too, however, is something Dawkins is quite happy to affirm. This refers to the intellectual, emotional, and psychological capacities that make us distinctively human, our capacity for love, creativity, moral reasoning, and self-awareness. Dawkins sees these as entirely explicable in physical terms, as products of the brain and evolutionary history, but he acknowledges they are what give human life its depth and meaning. Dawkins therefore represents a form of physicalism or materialism, the view that everything, including mental life, is ultimately physical. This aligns him broadly with Ryle and Aristotle against the dualist tradition of Plato and Descartes. Now, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. First, know your assessment objectives. For WJAT religious studies, AO1 is worth 40% of your marks and AO2 is worth 60%. AO1 is knowledge and understanding. Can you accurately describe and explain the views? AO2 is analysis and evaluation. Can you assess the strengths and weaknesses and reach a justified conclusion? In Part A, questions, which are AO1, do not offer your personal opinion. Focus entirely on explaining the theories with precision. Use technical vocabulary. Residencial cogitans, residencial extensa, psyche, hylomorphism, category error, substance dualism, property dualism. Examiners are specifically instructed to credit accurate use of these terms. In Part B questions, which are AO2, every paragraph must link back to the question. Use signposting language. Therefore, this suggests that, however a critic might argue, this undermines the view that, do not simply describe what philosophers said, assess whether their arguments are convincing. A very common mistake is to simplify Ryle's position to, the soul does not exist. This will not earn you high marks. Ryle's point is specifically about category errors and the logic of mental language. Similarly, do not write a biography of Descartes. Examiners want analysis of his specific arguments, the argument from doubt and the argument from divisibility. For timing, a 20-mark question should take approximately 20 to 25 minutes. A 30-mark question should take 35 to 40 minutes. Always leave 2 minutes to check your conclusion is clear and directly answers the question. Now let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, and then give the answer. Question 1. What is the name of Plato's analogy involving a charioteer and two horses? The charioteer analogy from the Phaedo. Question 2. What Latin terms did Descartes use for the mind and the body? Resientiae cogitans for the thinking mind and resientiae extensa for the extended body. Question 3. What is a category error according to Ryle? Treating something from one logical category as if it belongs to another. For example, treating the mind as a separate ghostly substance inside the body. Question 4. What is the difference between Dawkins' Soul 1 and Soul 2? Soul 1 is the mystical, supernatural soul rejected by Dawkins. Soul 2 is the intellectual and emotional capacities of the human mind, accepted as a physical phenomenon. Question 5. Why does Aristotle's view of the soul make resurrection more plausible than Plato's? Because for Aristotle, the soul cannot survive without a body, so any afterlife would require a new physical body consistent with resurrection. Plato's disembodied soul, by contrast, does not need a body at all. Let's bring it all together. The soul, mind, and body is fundamentally a debate between dualism, the view that mind and body are distinct substances, and monism, or materialism, the view that there is only one kind of substance, the physical. Plato and Descartes defend dualism. Aristotle, Ryle, and Dawkins challenge it from different angles. The key to doing well in this topic is precision. Know the specific arguments, the charioteer, the eye in sight, the argument from doubt, the argument from divisibility, the ghost in the machine. Know the technical vocabulary, and in your evaluations, make sure you reach a clear, sustained judgment. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Keep revising, keep questioning, and remember, philosophy is not about having all the answers. It's about asking the right questions with rigor and clarity. See you next time.